what happened in Texas, just so hard to wrap my mind around that, you know, that somebody would target an elementary school and shoot and kill 19 little children and two adults. And, you know, yes, at some level, it's a mental illness issue, and some level is policy with gun. But at the deeper level, what I see is it's evil. It's evil. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's an issue of sin. And, you know, many here would say, who's the most evil person that you could think of? And many people here will say Hitler, you know. But, you know, I was just thinking, you know, how many would do evil if they were given power, if they had power? You know, how many would be just as worse as Hitler if they were given tremendous power? You know, the Bible says it is sin. And for sin, human being, we need to be saved by God to take care of sin. We need to be healed by God. We need to be delivered by God. And so I thought before we go into the sermon, if we could pray as a congregation, cry out to the Lord, save us, O God. Heal us. Deliver us, O Lord. You know, there are things that sin in your life, in your heart, that you're battling and struggling. And let's just as a church just humble ourselves before God and just cry out, save me, O God. Heal me, O Lord. Deliver me. Let's also cry out for our nation. God, we cry out for revival in this nation. Rain upon this nation, Lord. Heal this land. Revive this land. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah, this is the message that I was convicted. It's the title is Biblical Joy. Biblical Joy. And James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, consider it pure joy. And I love to do that. Consider it pure joy. But I don't like the second part of the verse. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, you know, it says when you face trials of many kind, okay? Consider when you're going through trials, and as the whole world is being shaken, the whole world's going through a trial, this nation is under many trials. But it says, when you're going through trial, consider pure joy. Okay? Consider pure joy. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like trials. Okay? I really don't like, especially what this passage says, trials of many kinds. Okay? Trials of many kinds. But no matter how much I don't like it, no matter how much I want to avoid trial, I can't. I can't. Trials are unavoidable. Okay? You can't hide from it. Okay, if you do, you know, it's going to make it worse. You can't run away from it. You can't just medicate yourself from it. You can't pass it to someone else. That would be great if I, just pass it to somebody else. You and I have to, as a Christian, face trial. We have to face it. And, you know, God's people in the wilderness, in the book of Exodus, is an example of what not to do when you're in the midst of a trial. When they were hit with trials, they responded with fear, they responded with complaints, and they responded with unbelief. Okay? That's the worst thing you could do. Okay? That's the worst thing you could do when you're in trial. And so you're in the midst of trial, you're complaining. Do you notice it makes the trial worse? Right? When there's no faith, it makes the trial worse. When there's fear, do you notice? Okay, you're in the midst of trial and you respond to that trial with fear. It makes the trial worse. Okay? But James chapter 1, verse 2 says, when you are facing trials of many kinds, consider not lack of faith, not fear, consider joy. Okay? Consider joy. See, there is a, in God's plan, trials, there is a design and there's an intent behind trials. Okay? God uses trial to prepare you. Trial produces maturity. Okay? Produce maturity. Trials prepare you also to hold God's blessing. Okay? The trials prepares you to hold God's healing, God's freedom, and deliverance. See, healing and freedom, we teach healing and deliverance in this church. It's not a one-time event. That's what I learned about my father issue, mother issue, authority issue, you know, rejection and abandonment and neglect in my life. It's not just one-time event and I'm completely healed, I'm completely delivered. It takes time, okay? And it is a process. It's a process. And there is greater healing, greater deliverance as you overcome greater trials. Greater trials. See, trial prepares you for breakthrough, okay? God's breakthrough in your life. Think about the word breakthrough. Implies that you have to go through something hard. Breakthrough. Huh? Like a seed, they need to break through the shell. They need to break through the dirt to produce fruit. For breakthrough, you have to go through trials. You have to go through trials. And trials also prepare you, and this is what I want, as your pastor, I'm trying to prepare this church and myself for God's revival. Okay? God's revival. And trials prepare you to hold God's revival. There's been a tremendous shaking that, you know, over this last 2 to 3 years. A lot of spiritual attack, a lot of division in every area of this nation, a lot of hatred, old issues coming to the surface, sickness, death, you know, economic trial, inflation, you name it. Okay? And every time I go to a gas station, I feel like I'm going through trial now, you know. So we're all hit with great trials. Why? And this is what keeps me going. I believe God's preparing a great revival. But for great revival, his people need to be able to hold it. Well, it needs to be able to hold it. You know, we have things that we don't want to deal with, you know, things that's hidden, things that hurts us, things that opens the door to demonic attack, things that prevent us from walking out God's calling, walking out God's purpose. It's not that God doesn't want to use you. God has a great purpose for each one of you. But there are things in our heart that prevents it from happening, and God uses trial to bring that healing, to bring that deliverance, to prepare our heart to hold God's blessing. See, trials will bring those things that's preventing God's blessing in our life to the surface. God will bring problems into your life. Why? To redeem you. Say to your neighbor, God wants to redeem you. See, God's all-knowing, okay? It's not like he's clueless about your issues. He knows all your issues. Okay? He knows all your issues. And God uses trials. It's not for him. Okay, I want to see what issues come out. That's not God. God knows your issues. But God uses trials so that you could identify your issues, so that you see, then I need healing. So then you depend on God, and you see that you need to be set free. And then when you realize that truth, that's when the gospel becomes powerful. The gospel of Jesus Christ, there's power. The trials in your life is not to punish you. It's not because God is mad at you. Did you hear that? Some of you need to hear this. The trials that's going through, that you're going through, the difficulties as a parent, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, in your workplace, it's not because God is mad at you. It's not there because God wants to see you suffer. There is a great purpose to the trials that we're going through personally, as a family, and as a nation. It is to change you. It is to get you on the right path, to prepare you for his purpose and calling. The writer of the book of Hebrew, you know, some say it's Apostle Paul, but it's not definite, so I'm going to say the writer of the book of Hebrew tells us to consider trial, when you're going through trial, as a loving discipline from God. What? As a loving discipline from God. He also says that our trial are actually indicator of God's approval, because you're his children. That's why he disciplines us. And the reality, okay, when you're going through trial, okay, the writer of the book of Hebrews says this is the reality of our adoption into God's family. See, God is your father, and he loves his children. And because he loves his children, you're his children, his child, he disciplines us. He disciplines us. So how do you go through trial, okay? It's not fear. It's not bitterness. Again, it doesn't work. Okay? How many times, you know, do we have to go through it? But let's wake up. It doesn't work. Fear doesn't work. Bitterness doesn't work. Okay? Complaining does not work. Having a critical heart. Unbelief. Right? We're gonna follow the Bible. What does the Bible say? We need to hold on to joy. Okay? We need to embrace biblical joy. Okay, biblical joy. Okay. Point number one. Biblical joy is pure. Okay, say that to your neighbor. So James chapter 1 says, consider not just human joy, circumstantial joy, money joy, provision joy, but it says, or good weather joy. Today was, you know. But the Bible says, consider pure joy, okay? Pure joy. Okay? When facing trials, you know, suffering, difficulties, the problems, our weakness, The Bible tells us to do something ridiculous, something that goes against how we feel, against what we think, against what the world tells us, against our own flesh. Consider pure joy. Okay? And what is pure joy? It is something that's not mixed with other things. It's something free of any contamination. That's what's, when you hear the word pure, okay? It's free of any contamination. It is something very healthy. Like, for example, pure food, we say organic food, whole food. What do we say about whole food? It is healthy, right? Processed food, margarine, or something like that. You know, it's not healthy. Why? It's mixed with a lot of different chemicals. They heat it to, you know, and change the chemistry of things. And it is not healthy. Okay? Pure joy will keep us healthy in the midst of trials of many kinds. Okay? It's like precious metal. And how does a metal become precious? Pure metal. It must go through pressure and fire to bring out the purity, okay? To bring out the purity. So when we face trials of many kinds, to have pure joy, okay? To have pure joy, you need to keep out lies. Okay? You can't contaminate your heart with lies. You need to keep out lies. You need to fight the spiritual battle that's trying to bring impure thoughts and impure emotion into your heart. We need to stop entertaining lies. But in the midst of trials of many kind, we need to be influenced by God's truth. Okay? God's truth. We need to take back the territory of our mind and our emotion. We need to, so that it will be a fertile territory for God's revelation, God's truth. In the midst of trials, okay, you're going to be hit with so many lies. You're going to be hit with lie after lie after lie. And joy, pure joy, is you protect the territory of your heart. And you're able to receive the revelation of God, the truth of God. See, you don't have to believe everything you think. It's just a thought that comes to your mind, I need to believe it. No. So you don't have to believe everything that you feel. You don't have to accept everything you feel. Because not everything you think or feel is right. Okay? Is right. Not everything you think and feel is authentic. Not everything you think and feel is the truth. Okay, is the truth. When facing trials, some of the things that you're thinking and feeling, right, are wrong. It's wrong. Right? And the thoughts and feeling about yourself, about others, about the circumstances, about your family, about your spouse, about your pastor, about God. Your thinking and feeling can be wrong. Okay, can be wrong. So pure joy knows, right? How do you know that you're holding on to pure joy? This is, okay, in the midst of the trial that you're going through, what comes to your heart? What comes to your mind? What do you feel? Pure joy. No, God loves me when life seems unfair. What? Knows that God loves me when life seems unfair. Pure joy. No, God loves me when I feel lost, when I feel lonely, when I feel rejected, when there's pain, and even when we're facing death. Okay? When we're facing death. When we are in the valley, you know, it looks like You're the only one in the valley. It looks like everyone else is doing better than you. They're on the mountaintop, you know. Pure joy knows without a doubt, with faith, knows that God is with me in the valley. Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God is with you when you're going through difficult trial. I know you agree with this, but do you know this? You're going through some difficult trial. God is with you. Okay? God is with you. Pure joy knows in the valley. Okay, and I want you to receive this revelation. Okay? In the valley, God's going to do the greatest miracle in my life. Amen? The greatest miracle. There's going to be greatest healing I ever saw. Greatest deliverance that I ever saw. Greatest salvation. That's the gospel message. Amen? So, biblical joy is pure. Number two, biblical joy is grace. Okay? It's grace. I was just meditating. I couldn't pick one passage because this three passage blessed me so much. So first is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. In the midst, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need," in the midst of trial, when we're in a trial. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. "And after you have suffered a little while," as you're going through trials, "the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ," this is what he's going to do, "will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." See, when you're going through trial, he's going to help you. And my belief is, if God doesn't help me, I can't get out of it. Okay, I'm not going to overcome. God's going to restore. He's going to confirm. He's going to strengthen and establish you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, you know, this is like, you know, one time that Apostle Paul pleaded with God, "This trial, this thorn on my side, please take it away. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" In weakness. Yeah. I believe, without God, people don't know how to handle power. It says, "But my grace," and he works when you're going through trial, when you feel weak. That's God. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In weakness. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And God's people said. So, the reason I say biblical joy is grace. The word joy, the word grace, the two words goes hand in hand in Greek. Okay? The Greek word for joy is chera. The Greek word for grace is charis. Chera, charis. Okay? And so joy and grace has the same root word. It goes hand in hand. Grace and joy. Right? And so what I believe the Bible is saying, when we rest in God's grace, there's joy. Okay? And when we are joyful, we understand God's grace. Okay? When you're angry, you don't understand grace. You don't understand grace. But when you're joyful, you understand God's grace. When you rest in God's grace, there's joy. It's like peanut butter and jelly. It goes well together. Okay? It goes well together. But what I realize about Christian life is we start our spiritual journey. We become a Christian and start this spiritual journey because of grace, right? Like if you became a Christian because, you know, you feel God's angry at you and he's so, mad at you. If I don't become a Christian, he'll punish you. That's not Christianity. Right? That's more like Islam, I think, That's not Christianity. Right? We become Christian because of grace, Right? And this is the reason when somebody becomes a new believer, what do you see? A lot of joy. When somebody becomes a Christian, there's so much joy. They're just overflowing out of their heart when they become a Christian. Right? But over time, as a Christian, we stop focusing on grace and then it becomes more work. Christianity becomes more work than grace. It's like we're saying to God, I'm going to make God love me. See how hard I work? I'm going to make you love me. Right? Yeah. And over time, what do you see about their Christian life? Right? There's less joy. There's less joy in their Christian life. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 says this, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Can you say it together? 1, 2, 3. Okay. Where sin increase, okay? Where there is weakness, where there's failure, where there's shame, where there's condemnation, where there's darkness, and even death, the Bible says grace increases all the more. Okay, all the more. More difficult. If you became a Christian and there's trials and difficulty and suffering, more grace. Okay? There's more grace. You know, it doesn't say where sin increases, grace becomes weak and helpless and irrelevant. But it says grace increases all the more. What the Bible says is kind of, I believe, saying about grace, God's grace. Sin has no chance when grace is manifested. Greater the sin, more powerful the grace. More powerful the grace. You know, we see grace only functioning, we think grace is so weak that, we all have to get along to really understand God's grace. There has to be peace in the nation, in the world, to understand God's grace. There has to be, everybody has to be, holy for God's grace. Grace could only function on a beautiful day when the sun's shining, flowers are blooming, and birds are singing. And you go, grace is powerful. Grace is powerful. Now, the Bible says, when there's greater darkness, greater the grace. Okay? Romans 6 says, sin shall not be your master, right, because of grace. When you're under grace, sin has no power over you. Greater the sin, the more powerful the grace of God. Right? More powerful the grace of God. Because of grace, sin is not your master. Because of God's grace, sin has lost its power over you, okay? Over you. So grace, and this, this is one of the, right way to understand grace. When you fail, you go, God, be gracious to me. And God will be gracious, okay? When you feel the weight of condemnation, guilt, and accusation, grace is there. But I'm asking the church, look what the Bible says about grace. When sin is powerful, grace is a lot more powerful. Okay? Grace could go further. Grace creates an environment to come back. Grace creates an environment for restoration. Grace creates a change in your heart. Grace can change your life. And grace, God's grace, when you're going through trial, because of God's grace, you will overcome. Okay? You will overcome. Point number three. Okay? Biblical joy is God. Okay? Biblical joy is God. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? Say that to your neighbor. Okay. In trials, and especially the trials of many kinds that we're all going through right now, don't hold on to human joy. Okay? Human joy can't help us in trials. Okay? Human joy is there, it's powerful when everything's going right. That's human joy. Okay? During good times. When things are working out, when there's human joy because you got a promotion, right? When people are getting along, there's human joy. In trials, though, you need joy that will give you strength. Right? You need joy that will give you strength. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. Now, you got to understand the characteristic of God. God is happy within himself. Aquinas, theologian, this is what he said. God is happiness by his essence. Okay, for he is happy not by acquisition or participation of something else, but by his essence. By his essence. What he's saying is, God is joyful. Okay? God is happiness. Okay? God is joyful. Okay? Joy is the fundamental to his nature. Joy is fundamental to the nature of God. To find and know God is to find and know all joy. All joy, the most powerful joy. Apostle Paul described God in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Okay? He said this, the glory, okay, we think of God, glory, right? This is how a lot of people think, the glory of God, oh, so glory, can't I even look upon him, glory. Oh, if we see the glory of God, we will die, you know? Moses saw a little bit of the glory of God and his face started shining. Well, what does Apostle Paul say about God's glory? The glory of the blessed God. That's what he said. The glory of the blessed God. Another word for blessed means happy or joyful. So what Apostle Paul, how he described God is the glory of the joyful God. Okay? The glory of the joyful God. So he put together things that I would never put together, but he did this. The glory of God and his joy. He put it together. God's happiness is central to his glory. It's not God's anger that glorifies him. But when you come face to face with God in heaven, you will be so overwhelmed by joy that you worship him. Okay? You know, parents, your children, let's go worship God. Oh! can I go out with my friends? I had to just watch TV. You see, They don't understand. See, when they get to heaven, your child, your children, they'll be overwhelmed with so much joy that they will glorify God. It's the joy that makes you glorify God. Okay? And so, when we get to heaven, we'll be surrounded by God's glory. In heaven, God's glory will not destroy us, but fill us with everlasting joy. Yeah? That's how I see heaven. A place of everlasting joy. No more tears. Everlasting joy. In trials, you need to walk with someone. And when you're going through trial, this is so important. When you're going through very difficult trial, you need to walk with someone who is happy. Okay? Who is happy. Not someone who is grumpy. Doesn't help you. Doesn't help me. Okay, if I walk, you know, there's trials in my life, and, you know, I'm walking with somebody who's grumpy, who complains a lot, who's depressed. You know, the people of God, because they were so grumpy and complaining, everybody wanted to go back to Egypt. Who's depressed and who's angry. Right? You need to walk with somebody who is joyful, right? Who is happy, who is eternally happy. And that's God. God is the most joyful person that you can ever meet. Okay? Ever meet. That's why he has so much joy. One of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. Not fire that burns you. Don't say that. It's just love, peace, joy, goodness, kindness. What? One of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. God's joy strengthens you. Okay, we're going through trials. We need his joy to strengthen us. Okay, we need his joy to strengthen us. Okay, not a list of 100 things that we need to do, but we need his joy. And because it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it is given to you. It touches you. It will move through all believers. All believers. God's joy is powerful in you. You know, we try to find joy in what we do, what we have. We find joy when things go our own way. When others like us, you know, we're joyful. When the weather is warm and nice and bright, we're joyful. But when you're going through a trial, you're going through lost. There's spiritual attack. It's tiring. It is dry. It is empty. You're empty. In trial, circumstantial joy is not enough. You need a joy that will strengthen you. People's opinion joy is not enough. You need joy that is gracious. That is gracious. A good weather joy is not enough. You need God's joy. You need God's joy. In the midst of the trial that we're going through, there's depression, there's lies, there's stress, there's accusations, shame, there's failure, even failure. Depression, there's hopelessness, there's spiritual attack. Some condemn themselves, beat themselves up. Some get angry at others. Some become scared and run away. Some will use their willpower. Or some, you know, I'm going to try to think positively. That's good, but you need more than that. Biblical solution, you need God's joy. Okay, God's joy. And this is God's joy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. In the greatest trial that Jesus went through, where he was about to take the sin of the whole world, every rejection, every abandonment, every brokenness, every neglect, every abuse. This is what the Bible says. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. See, you and I were lost, and because of the joy, because of the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross. That's what kept him going. It was the joy. When he thought about you, he became happy. When he went to the cross, it was not just the pain. He was not just thinking about the pain, the work on the cross, but the joy. He had you in his heart. He had you in his heart. In a fallen world, when your joy is in your possession, if you don't have the latest iPhone, you know, you go through, I'm going to say it, FOMO, okay, fear of missing out, okay, fear of missing out. When your joy is in physical beauty, just physical beauty, you get one little pimple on your nose and it devastates you. It will just devastate you. Okay? If your joy is in people's opinion, you're like a chaff going wherever the wind takes you, going many different directions. Those kind of joy is weak. The joy will not help you or strengthen you in the midst of trial. In trial, you need God's joy, the fruit of the Holy Spirit joy. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray.